Good evening. If you would please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, this is where we're going to begin. We're going to begin reading in verse 23. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body." Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Even so ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his own wife loveth himself, and no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ also the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak in regard of Christ and of the church. Nevertheless, do ye also severally love each one his own wife, even as himself." Subject ourselves to the Lord as the church. And then further on down, he talks about masters and slaves. Now, here's the thing. If you're in a situation, and I've been in this situation, where my father is my father, I submit myself to him. I honor him as my father. But it could be that in the church, what might happen is if I'm serving as an elder and my father is not, then in a sense that people would submit themselves to the elders of the flock, he would do that with reference to me. Subjecting yourselves one to another in the role in which God has placed you. So what Paul is telling us is when he begins, and it's interesting that he begins in each of the pairs that he talks about, he starts off and he began here in, yes, we are going to have disagreements. And yes, we are going to discuss things. And yes, we are going to do this in a spirit of love and understanding and knowing what God would have us to be and how he would have us to live. Only thing that's going to change us, whether it be a husband or a wife, is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working through His Word. And lest we forget, we have an advantage that Adam did not have. We can go out and we can choose whom we're going to marry. We can look at each other and we can decide, we can evaluate it, and then we can choose. And so when I got married, I had a little bit different view of that. And now I have an even different view than I had when I got married. Janet helped me to see that. When children come along, they help you to see some things too. And oftentimes what we do is we fail to go back and look at the totality of Scripture and what God said on any given subject. One of the things that we're beset with is like Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, things are going to happen in latter times. There are going to be problems. And people and men are going to become lovers of themselves. And that is the biggest enemy to a good marriage, is self-love. And perhaps as men, we are more susceptible to that. Because it seems as though that we get a skewed perspective of what headship means and what love means. It's almost like we come out of any discussion and idea about headship and about responsibility, you know, as though that we are a dictator. And I don't mean a benevolent dictator, but just a dictator. And we miss the concept of being a servant, and we miss the concept of sacrificial love. Self-love destroys sacrificial love. Christ gave himself for the church. And women, ladies, if you can find a man that will love you as Christ loved the church, it's not going to be hard for you to submit yourself to that kind of man.
If he is what Paul is describing here, things are going to fall into place just as God intended.
The man that is driven by self-centered love ends up saying things like, well, I want it, and I want it when I want it, and I want it the way I want it, and I want it now. And essentially, it becomes idolatry because he is more concerned about himself. He has become his own God. He has dethroned God and he has enthroned himself. He's the kind of guy that looks into the mirror and when he sees himself, he begins to sing, "How great thou art." That's self-centered love. And it destroys marriages. It says, self-centered love says, what can you do for me instead of what can I do for you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 3, what Paul says, he says, if I give my body to be sacrificed, and I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Sacrificial love says that I am going to love my wife as Christ loved the church. It meets the needs of your wife. It meets the needs of the person that you are loving. And it meets their needs whether or not you think they need it or whether you think they deserve it. The kind of love that we are supposed to give to our wives is not dependent upon whether or not she is always lovable or she is always lovely, but it depends upon the kind of character that we are. Just like the character of God and the character of Christ. If God were to wait, and Jesus would have waited until we were lovely all the time and lovable, he never would have come. There never would have been a demonstration of his love. Because while we were yet sinners, God commended his love to us through his Son who died for us. We did not deserve it. Not in any shape of the imagination. But he sent him just the same. And Jesus was saying, you're going to deny me. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. The problem was that Peter wanted to die for the Lord, but he, at that point in his life, he wasn't ready to live for the Lord. And that's what we have to do. We have to live not only for the Lord, but for our families and for our wives. Christ's love itself. And we're missing the point. God has laid that role upon us as husbands to be the protector and to be the provider and to be the guide in our homes. And we need to do that. Even if our wives happen to balk at that, that doesn't change what God said. Adam missed the boat. He wasn't there. One of the qualifications for an elder in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 is that he's to rule his house. And that's something we all should aspire to, something that we all should do. The question is, are you the ruler of your house? Are you the head of your house? And the unfortunate thing down through the years that has created a lot of problems is that we as men have joked a lot about it. And we really ought not to do that. We're joking about something that God has put in place. And we need to look at it seriously from God's perspective. And as the heads of our families and of our house, we need to get the snakes out of our garden. And we need to make sure that they don't come in. You know, we used to talk a lot about soap operas and how they would affect women. Well, it's not just women they affect anymore. They affect men, too. And it's not just daytime soaps. It's nighttime soaps. And now we've moved beyond that. It's no longer that. It's everything imaginable that you can run into on the Internet. There are things that are creeping into our homes. As husbands and as fathers, we have a responsibility to make sure the snakes that the devil is sending to us stay out of our homes. That's not your wife's responsibility. That's yours. And we need to step up to the challenge and do what God would have us to do. Another thing is that sacrificial love is also inseparable. And this seems to be a rather modern thing that has been going on. And I know some people in the San Antonio area that do this. That there's some men that will end up taking vacations apart from their husband just to go sightsee or just to go see a particular thing.
It's not a business trip. It's not a trip in order to provide food for their family. It's a vacation. And they say, well, we just like to do that. I like to take vacations by myself. My wife likes to take vacations by herself. That's not normal. You got married to be together. You're one. And not only is it not normal, it's not healthy. Unless you want a snake in your garden. It's like somebody told the story about a man who was gone, who had done this, and he was away from home, and he was visiting, and he was sightseeing and enjoyed some things. He called home and he said, honey, it was that the difficulties that those children would have oftentimes did not surface until years later. Don't be fooled into thinking that children are so resilient that they can handle anything. Get the snakes out of your garden. Don't make provision for the devil. Because once you open the door, he's going to walk right through it. If you love somebody, you really don't want to be separated from them. You know, that's one of the things I think we learn about our relationship with the Lord. Paul says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We don't want to be. Do you want to be separated from the love of God? The one that you love? And who gave his son? You don't want to do that. He said nothing can do that. The only thing that can do that is whether or not I choose to do it and allow it to happen. He said neither height nor depth nor anything can do that. But I can if I choose to allow something to come between me and the Lord. You get married to be together, to stay together, to go places together, to rear your children together. To go through life hand in hand, side by side, and face to face, not only as friends, but as lovers. And if you do that, this is how crushing that the people who fail the most have the most potential to serve. One of the things that Jesus said to Peter, he said, you're going to deny me three times. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for you that you will turn and that you will strengthen your brethren. Your life and your relationship with your wife and your children is destined for failure and for trouble. It doesn't have to be that way. You can make an about face. You can turn and put God first in your life. It's such an